All right. I'll try to talk loud now, so if some of you in the back, I know you're near a fan, but that fan's probably important, so that's what we'll do, okay? Let's begin with prayer, and I want to mention to you, we had a passing out of our congregation this week. Johnny Pisayo, I think is the way you say his last name. Girlfriend Carolyn, they came here. They've been coming here for the last 6 to 8 months, I would say. They moved to our community. They were homeless when they came, and they found housing right down the street from us, and they began to come to church here, and they came to Sunday school and worship, and on Wednesday nights, and so they've been coming real regularly. I want to thank our Sunday school classes for receiving them and making them feel the love. They certainly felt the love in our church. And so the funeral is going to be here at the church on Monday at 10:30. That's tomorrow at 10:30. And so if some of you would like to come and, you know, show your respects, as we not much family at all in this. So if you can come, this would be a great thing. Also, remember in the hospital, Caleb Blankenship, Mike Smith, Christine Sires, Cecil Robertson's son-in-law, Matthew Clayton, who was in very, very serious condition, actually survived his situation, and looks like he's going to survive. And so it's been a great miracle, really. The doctors themselves are pretty befuddled by it all. So we're grateful for that. Keep Peggy Biggs, Doris Harden, Roberta Radford's been in and out of the hospital this past week. Also, Jim Borum is home now from the hospital. Also a great turnaround. So let's bow together for prayer. Father, we're mighty happy today to be able to call on your name and to pray. You teach us, Lord, that you want us to pray. And you want to hear from your people. And so we're glad today to say thank you for every blessing that comes. God, it's a beautiful day outside, beautiful sunshine. And we're thankful for this time of year just as a testimony to you. We're glad to be able to come into the church today. And Lord, just to sing together and pray together. And Lord, to worship God. Wherever we are today and whoever we are, we may come, Lord, almost bouncing on our footsteps with such good news in our life, and we're experiencing maybe real joys right now. Some of us may come, Lord, with a deep hole in our heart. And God, we just really need to find some comfort, some touch from heaven, that God remind us that, God, we are loved, and that, God, you care, you know, you understand, and you have a plan. Lord, help us, Lord, to open our hearts today. Probably most all of us are somewhere a mixture of these kinds of things. There are blessings and there are cares. And we especially want you to be with us today as we worship you. Lord, as we think about our mothers, we're grateful. And Lord, we just pray that, Lord, you will always keep in our heart and mind, Lord, the very best that our mothers bring to our lives. The things, God, that stick with us, that will go with us through our whole life. Things that we pass on to the next generation as well. So, Lord, we're mighty thankful. We love you. We trust you. We just ask today you'll lead and guide and bless these different ones we mentioned. Those in the hospital, God, may you certainly be with them. Be with the bereaved, Lord, and walk with them. Lord, be with our country. Be with our world. Lord, and we pray that the peace of God that passes all understanding will be discovered by even those to the furthermost parts of the earth, even to right here in this house today. In Jesus' name, amen. Our text today is in Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 21. So I'm going to talk a little louder today. I'm not just slobbering and, you know, preaching at you hard. This is the way I can talk if I have to. So I'd be glad to put the microphone down and do it that way if you want me to. That'll be all right too. But we're looking at Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 21. Matthew 20, verses 20 through 21. There was a meeting. It was a good long back. It was an officer of the U.S. Secret Service, and he had his team there. And he said to this team, he said, "I have a very important secret about our nation's security threat, and I want to tell you. There is at this very moment an army of occupation in our country. They are already firmly entrenched. We will never get rid of them. They will eventually take over our government. They will take over every foot of land, our banks. They will occupy every seat in Congress. And then, smiling, he said, I'm referring to our youth, the youth of America. And so, sons and daughters, these are our sons and daughters. And he went on to say, do we realize the responsibility in raising our youth, raising our children and our teens? And do we realize how important they are? They are that important. What kind of climate do you have in your home? What kind of atmosphere do you breathe? Are you helping to shape and mold the youth of tomorrow? And so chapter 20, verse 21 has a story of a mother in the life of Jesus. It says in verse 20, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What will you? What do you want? And she said to him, grant this, that my two sons may sit, the one at your right hand and the other on your left hand in your kingdom. And Jesus answered and said, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I shall drink and to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And these two boys said, we are able. And he said to them, you shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. It shall be given to them whom it is prepared of the Father. And so here are these two disciples of Jesus, James and John, both brothers, and their mother comes to Jesus. And in some ways, she is criticized. The disciples themselves were not too happy about this. Can you believe there was jealousy among the disciples? Why, sure. And so here's the mother coming in, getting what? The inside track, it seems to them, on getting her boys a really nice position there in whatever the kingdom that Jesus was going to set up. That was their mindset anyway. They thought Jesus was going to set up something grand and a great kingdom. And so here she is, and so they see her as trying to slyly, I was going to use the word subterfuge, but I wasn't sure I was going to get it out, get her sons in. And so the disciples were all sort of upset about this ambition kind of thing. But on the other hand, you can look at her in another way and say, she's beautiful. For all she really wanted for her boys was to stay real close to Jesus. She wanted the mantle of Jesus to fall on the shoulders of her boys. We could say that. And so I want us to think today of the parallel loves, you might say, of this mother with the heart of Christianity and what Christianity is all about. One parallel you can see here, and we've already mentioned it, is she wanted her sons to live close to him. And you know what? That's what the church wants for her sons and daughters. That's what the Christian faith is about. We want our church, children of God, and that's not just our youth and teens and children. That's all of us. The church wants its children to stay close to Jesus. You know, there's no other way than to stay close to Jesus. There's nothing that can be done for you in the Christian faith that will take the place of you staying close to Jesus. There's no sermon that can be preached. There's no song that can be sung. There's no prayer that can be prayed that will take the place of you yourself staying close to Jesus. So I'm here to tell you today, Stay close to Jesus. But there will always be those who are known as friends and servants of Christ. And we want for our children the best. I remember with a mother who was going to die. She said to me, I want my son to stay close to Jesus. I want him to be saved. She didn't live to see that day, but he was saved. That was her prayer, and that prayer was answered. When I was just a little tot, I was about 2 years old, I had a real bad injury. It was life-threatening kind of injury. Head was hit, busted over with a concrete block that fell from some contraption somebody had made and put me in the hospital. Knocked me right out of my shoes, they said, right into the hospital. And I was unconscious for a long time. And my mother, every now and then, will tell me, Charlie, when you were in that hospital, we didn't know if you'd live or die. We prayed that God would heal you and that he would use you in some way. Well, we'll still see if the Lord will answer that prayer, won't we? So Zebedee's wife took these two boys to Jesus, and she asked for them the very highest, the finest, and the best. She wanted those boys to know she wanted the best for them. She was expecting great things out of these boys. And I would think at the first of it, you know how it is when you're on the ball team and your mama has to come out there and pick you up off the ground, dust you off, and rake out the coach. You know, it makes you feel a little funny. So I don't know how they felt when their mama come up to Jesus and started making these requests. They might have said, "Oh, mom, come on now. We might not ever measure up to those things. Don't put that on us." And so mother expects the best. I remember when I was in basic training, first week in basic training. And so here's all these boys come together, you know. We was all sitting in there together. And we spent 2 or 3 days marching us this way and that, you know. And after 2 or 3 days, you know, there's some habits start forming. You know, you're around, for one, a lot of us around are some real live cussing that we hadn't really been exposed to, not the real live kind. We'd had the school kind, but this was like more than that. And so there was a lot of cussing going on. And so this boy next to me, and who was in the bed next to me, I met him when we first came out, just as nice a boy as you'll ever want to see. I mean, just real polite and looked like he was raised good and all that. And so about the third or fourth day, that boy started cussing. And, I let it go on about a day or so. I thought, well, maybe, I don't know what he's doing. And so about the fourth or fifth day, I looked at him and I said, man, what are you doing? I said, you come in here, you wasn't cussing a bit. And I said, now all of a sudden, you just have gone off cussing. And I said, what would your mama think of you? Did you hear that in the back? What would your mama think of you? You heard that? What would your mama think of you? Probably to him it comes as a shout. Well, whatever reason, I was only with him about 3 more days, but he quit cussing. I'll give him that. And so if that'll work, you know. I tried that on a CB radio one time with truckers. And there's a going on. And so I said, well, what do your mama think of you? Well, that just started all kind of arguments. And I had to shut it off and drive off, and they were just going at each other, you know, like that. Somebody wrote these words, "She thinks I am an angel. She knows her little lad would never mix with anything that was ugly, mean, or bad. Wouldn't it be wonderful, gee whiz, if a fellow was just the fellow that his mother thinks he is?" You know, so she had great expectations, and she came to Jesus. And what she doesn't know is that Jesus already had plans for these boys. He had plans for them, big plans. He had plans that they would serve as the foundation stones in building God's kingdom on this earth. He was entrusting them. He was going to entrust them with the greatest story ever told. That's the gospel message. It was into these 12 that he was instilling this in them. He spent 3 years with them. And then they would, at his death and resurrection, they would be left there. They would be there wondering what to do. And the Holy Spirit came on their life. And they were to be the ones to go out into different parts of the earth and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. He had big plans for them. He also knew that for them, that for all of them, they would suffer for that cause. When he talked about the drink that I would drink, the food that I would eat, are you able to do this? He was going to himself going to the cross. And how many of those men that he was with at that time, how many of them paid with their lives? Paid with their lives for following Jesus. And they did. And they sacrificed themselves. And so she didn't know the plans that Jesus had for them. Jesus says, it's not me, it's not for me even to say who's going to be at my right hand and left hand in the kingdom. He said, that's not in the Son's knowledge base right now. The Father has that knowledge. And He'll decide all of that. It's not a matter of glory. It's not a matter of prestige when you follow Jesus. It's a matter of being willing to serve. And so he was saying to them, you know, this is not really, you're asking what you don't really understand, what you don't know. But I'll tell you this, she still wanted her boys to be close to Jesus, didn't she? And so I don't know if she backed off of it a whole lot. The second parallel we see here is the heart of a mother and the heart of Christianity in one word. And that's love. Choir sang about it, preached on it last week. The heart of Christianity is this message of the love of Christ. You say, well, what about the judgment of Christ? That's part of it. We all look forward to the judgment with a certain mantle of fear, it says. But the Bible teaches us that God loves us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the heart of the gospel. We can be saved from our sins. We can be saved for eternity. We're not having to worry about when we pass on. I remember when Johnny walked this aisle and he came down and he rededicated his life. Somewhere in his life he had accepted the Lord as his Savior and he rededicated himself. Who would know 2 weeks ago when he was with us on our team, when we were out, four of us out scattering mulch on Operation Inasmuch Day. He was with us. He was shoveling that mulch. He was doing good. Who would know that he would be called to heaven? We don't know, do we? But one day we're going to be held accountable. Romans 5:8 talks about redemptive love. This is at the heart. She wanted the best for her boys, whatever they had been brought up to be. They were fishermen. They weren't schooled and educated like a lot of the rich folks' children could be. She still wanted the best for them. And who would have known that God was going to work such a work in their life? One of these would be one of the first martyrs. James would be truly one of the first martyrs of the Christian church. There in the book of Acts, you read about his beheading. And John was the only disciple that lived into older age. And John wrote Book of John, the three letters of John, and the book of Revelation. Some of the greatest works on the love of God. All five of these books. And so redemptive love. Paul said it this way. He said, God shows His love in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us and gave Himself for us. That's redemptive love. And God was redeeming these men in their lives. And it wasn't just going to happen like that. It happened in their life as they were growing. Don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged in your life that somehow you've fallen back a step or two or further. Or you've fallen on your face. You just get right back up. God is a redeeming God. He's not about just living us in our past. He's about what's happening today and what's happening tomorrow. That's what God is about. There's a story long ago about a lady in her car. She pulled up to Argonne Cemetery in France. This was after World War II. And she got out of this black vehicle, this black car of some kind. And before her, as she stepped out to that cemetery, there were a sea of crosses there. And these crosses were two colors. The Allied who had fallen, the Allied nations, America, British, French, whoever else, other nations that were there, their crosses were white crosses. There were so many people killed on that battlefield that they could not just take them off and put them in different cemeteries. They needed to bury them, and so they did. And so the enemy's cross, the other side, the Axis powers, whoever they were that day, when they fell, their crosses were black crosses. So there were white crosses and black crosses. And so when she got out of that car, she went into that cemetery and she's wondering. She said, I hope my son is buried right in the middle of a bunch of white crosses. And she got to his cross and it was right between two black crosses. And she brought all these flowers. She laid them on her boy's grave. She got to looking at those two crosses. She said, you know, there's a mother somewhere whose son have laid down their life and they have died here too. So she took flowers and she put it on both of those crosses too. And then she looked down the way and she saw another mother kneeling there before a black cross. And as a mother's heart could only see into a mother's heart, she scooped up a big armful of flowers. And she went over to that mother. They didn't speak the same language. But she laid those flowers down on his grave. A mother's heart can talk to a mother's heart. She knew what it was about. All that had been in the past between those two, it was a day just to worship God and pray together. She invited her and they got in the car together. She took that mother home. God give us mothers whose heart really understands. That doesn't mean we're always going to be successful. It doesn't mean there's not going to be heartbreak. There is. We have our best wishes and our best works. We do the best we can. Circumstances come and go. But we don't give up. We keep on praying. And prayer is the third thing. When we think about a mother and we think about their family, prayer is a big part of the Christian faith too. Jesus in John 17, we won't go there, but in John 17, it's called the high priestly prayer of Jesus. It's the prayer of Jesus for his disciples. And his disciples will soon be without their leader. Jesus is soon to be on the cross the next day. And so there in John 17, he's praying for his disciples. I'm sure what he thinks ahead, he thinks about, I'm the shepherd, and the shepherd's going to be smitten, and what is going to happen to them? Are they just going to scatter out and run in fear and just disappear, and all the kingdom of God just kind of go to nothing? And he began to pray for his disciples. He prayed for their courage, I'm sure, their strength. But you know what mainly he prayed for? He prayed for their unity. Oh Lord, that they would be one as we are one. All of them, Lord, that you have given me, I have kept in my hand except the son of perdition. I have kept them and keep them, Lord, was his prayer. Do you know how much God wants to keep us together? God wants to hold us together. And his prayer is that we remain faithful to each other and faithful to him. Faithful to him and faithful to each other. And so when we think about this prayer of Jesus, I just have to think about some prayers. Prayers that we have had as well. Prayers maybe many mothers have prayed for their children down through the years. You might go your whole life praying certain kinds of prayers to the Lord. We don't know. But don't you know that the Lord, don't you know that one of the prayers of mothers is, Lord, keep them. Whatever happens to them, the best or the worst, Lord, keep them in your hands. Keep them in your hands. And so the prayers of our mothers. There was a young man who went off to college And it wasn't long while he was in college that he began to get a little bit, you know, when you go to college, you start learning all kinds of things, scientific things, and studying things that you hadn't studied before. And so he wasn't long in college before he was beginning to, you know, feel a little skeptical about his religion and so forth. And so he come back home on the summer break. And he said, one day, Mama said to me, she said, "Son, there's a little shack up on the hillside where a man lives. He has TB, tuberculosis. I think he's dying. I've been sending him a meal each day, but most of the time, I just take it up. Son, will you take it up there for me?" "Sure, I'll take it. Glad to," he said. And she said, "I usually take the Bible and I read him a passage." "Well, I wouldn't know what to read," he said. She said, "Just read from the 3rd chapter of John. And read it to him carefully, for I don't think he knows Jesus." Well, he said, "I spent half the afternoon with that man. And when I came home, I was nearly singing. And I told Mom I had a great time, and he gave his heart to Jesus." And then quietly he said, "And I gave my heart back to Jesus too." A mama's prayer, right? Even after she's gone a long time, that prayer keeps on working. It's in the ears of God. God's working too. There's story after story we could talk about. But I want to ask you, mothers, wherever you are, whatever your circumstances are, some of you have had a tough time. Wherever you are, keep on praying. Don't quit praying. Even when you don't know if there's any hope, you keep on praying. Praying for your children. You may be in the older years, and it may be soon you may say, "I don't know that I'll ever see this happen." Don't you stop. The Bible says, "Train up a child in the way they shall go. When they're old, they'll not depart from it." Sometimes our children have to get older before they get it. So don't give up. And us young folks, if we've still got our mamas, let's be thankful. And let's do what we can to let them know we're doing the best we can. I've asked Billy to come and sing a song today. I'm not going to give a regular invitation, but as he sings, you be thinking, if there's somebody who'd like to come and pray, the altar's certainly open. You just stand and come. I'd be glad to pray with you. Whatever. But Billy, if you'll come and just sing this song about the cross, about staying near the cross, I think it's got this same message today we're looking for. Thank you. Thank you. So Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you, God, for your mercy and grace and love, and go with us on this special day. And Lord, may you bless every soul that's here, God, with just a touch of your love today. In Jesus' name, amen.